kind of explain what I do, I will say, you know, I don't do accounting.
Right.
But I look at what accountants do, and I like to tell them what they're doing wrong or how they could do things better.
Hello, and welcome to Off the Books, where we surf the uncharted waters of accounting, finance, risk, and wherever else the waves take us. This episode is brought to you by Workiva, the one platform that brings financial reporting, ESG, audit, and risk teams together, kind of like bringing all the great ingredients together in an Italian hoagie. My name is Catherine Tsai. I'm a professional asker of questions and lover of venti soy chais. Today, I'm here with a special guest, Mike Gravano.
Mike. Yes, happy to return. I'm one of the Off the Books producers, so I pop up from time to time on camera, but normally I'm behind the camera. Recovering cherry coke addict, also like asking questions. And that's why I'm here today is you and I got to sit down at Amplify with Amy Hafen, Financial Controls Assurance Director in the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah.
So we talked about what that is.
Yep. I remember that.
How she got there. If as a child, she was like, I just can't wait to one day be an audit and controls. And that's what I've always dreamed. That is not the case. But yeah, Amy told a great story.
Yeah, we had a good chat with her. Yeah.
It was lovely.
I'm excited for people to get to hear our chat.
Then let's do that right now.
Do you mind introducing yourself? Yeah, Amy Hafen. I am a finance controls director, and I've been using Workiva since 2017.
Okay. And can you explain in a couple sentences, like at a five-year-old or a guy who went to school for poetry, what a finance controls director does?
Well, when I tell my kids what I do and I say socks, they're like socks on my feet. Yes. I'm like, yes, I deal with feet. No, I'm just kidding. Financial controls, how I explain to people that don't know what financial controls are, is I go into a company or I work for my company and I look at the processes that they follow to report their financials. And I look at the efficiency of those processes and whether the process themselves would help to assure adequate financial results. So for adults, talking to them, they're like, oh, great, financial results, financial reporting. For children, they're like, good, you sit behind a computer, that's great. So that's how I kind of explain what I do. I will say, you know, I don't do accounting.
Right.
But I look at what accountants do, and I like to tell them what they're doing wrong or how they could do things better.
I have to ask, what did you study in school?
I was an accounting major, and oddly enough, I chose accounting not to do anything with accounting. I did accounting because I knew I wanted to be in business, and okay. I knew that accounting was the best foundational degree knowledge to have to go into anything business-related, and so I just happened to get into audit after I graduated, and here I am today.
Was that a deliberate choice where you're like, that seems the most interesting in this world, or did you kind of fall into it and you wake up and it's years later?
I fell into that as well. So it was a weird point in my life when I, right before I graduated from college with my bachelor's in accounting, I got married. And my husband's college career and what he was going to do with his life kind of took priority over what I was going to do. So I said, okay, you know, I'll get a job. I already kind of had a job like that I had for college, and I just stayed with that, got promoted to like a store manager in a retail store. So I kept with that and moved to where he was going to college. And it was actually our hometown where he was going to college, and his mom is a dental hygienist, was cleaning his teeth for one of her patients, and he said, your daughter-in-law, she just graduated with an accounting degree. She's like, yeah. He's like, well, I do the audit for the city. Does she want to intern with us? And I was like, yeah, I should probably do something with this degree that I have. So I started doing governmental audit with a very small firm, and my internship never ended with them. So I kept working for them for several years, part-time, still doing my store manager retail job. Because I kept on to that because I knew my husband would go to dental school somewhere in the world, and I didn't know where, and I kind of held on to something I knew I could transfer easily with. Fast forward 2 years from the point that I got the internship, we moved to New York City. I transferred with my retail job, did that for 3 months. It was garbage. It was super busy. I was like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. With the experience that I gained at this small government or this small CPA firm in the town I was from, gave me enough knowledge about audit to start applying for jobs out in the New York, New Jersey area. And that's where I got my first internal audit job. It was funny, part of the interview was obviously getting to know me. So they gave me a fake audit that was performed, and they said, we need you to identify the issue and then draft the issue and the impact and a remediation plan. And I was like, I can do this. I've done it a couple times. So I was able to do all of that, and they were like, hey, you found all the issues and, you know, drafted a really good response and impact analysis. So, you know, I had to interview a few other people at the company, but ultimately got the job. And I've been internal audit at Pharmaceutical ever since. Like, wow. I literally fell into the job. I had no intention of being in accounting. I had no intention of doing audit. But it's, you know, when I got into it, found that it's something that I'm pretty good at.
Yeah.
Been doing it ever since. A few months into that internal audit job, I was kind of given socks. Like, here, this is yours now.
Right.
And I was like, great, I don't know anything about this. But again, just kind of learned on the job, had some good mentors along the way to kind of help me understand, you know, because when I went to school, socks wasn't really a big thing yet because the whole, you know, Anderson, WorldCom, that all happened while I was in college.
Right.
So, like, I didn't go to school learning these case studies.
Yeah.
There wasn't an internal.
Yeah,
yeah. They were happening. There wasn't an internal audit program when I was going to school. So a lot of the things, like, while there was still the concept of controls, it just wasn't a big thing that was covered, like, in my college curriculum. So I had to learn a lot on the job and took over SOCs. And throughout my career, even though I was with internal audit most of the time, I'm not actually an internal audit anymore in my new company. I'm actually just in their controls group. But I really have been managing internal control programs for the last 17 years of my career. And it's what I'm good at, what I like. It's my niche. I don't know how you're supposed to say it.
Dealer's choice, you'd say. So 17 years, that's a healthy chunk of time, other than maybe it is just that SOX is now a big thing. What has changed the most through those years of your career?
The scrutiny, and I think the level of documentation, and the auditor's favorite word of the year, the level of precision. When I first started, it's like, hey, go test controls, and it was really kind of a silly thing where you'd be like, oh, here's a piece of paper, there's signature, we're good, right? Like, you didn't really do a lot more digging.
Right.
But as the years have progressed, there's been a lot more scrutiny by especially external auditors, to say, well, what does that signature mean? How do you know that person actually reviewed something? So, you know, and that's changed how I've had to manage a program. That's changed how I've gone into different processes and sat with control owners and said, you know, it's great, this process you have, but explain to me how your process is designed to actually catch a material error. Right, because it's not just you reviewed it. Great, you reviewed it. That's your job. But how do you ensure? And that's the whole point of these controls, is how to assure reliable financial reporting. So it's just asking more questions, and it's a lot more, goes into just testing than it used to. And here's my Workiva plug. Workiva has really made that super convenient on how we do our testings, with how the markups and everything works within the document itself, or within the program itself.
Yeah.
Like, you really can show everything within one place super easy without having to do all these markups out offline, right? Using just standard, like, Excel or Word tools or PDF tools. So
that's great to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That makes us happy.
All right. And I'll stop her right there, because, by the way, if you want to check out the solution that Amy's talking about and that she uses, you can go to workiva.com/socks. That's workiva.com/SOX. All right. Let's go back to the chat with Amy.
Well, did I hear correctly that you've worked on some IPOs for your career, too?
Yes, I've been in an IPO. I've been through, so we were pretty much already SOX ready before the IPO, but that was the intention, to just, you know, go full SOX. So one of the companies I worked for was divested from a major company, and for about 4 or 5 years, we had to work towards the IPO offering. So it was a lot of work into setting up a whole controls program. I mean, we got some legacy documents from when they got divested from this company, but essentially it was starting from scratch and going and being on the ground in all the different locations, getting all the documentation, setting up the controls, and really having a few good years of testing to support, you know, when management is going for this IPO, to say we've got operating controls already in place. Like SOX, when you turn it on, no big deal. We're ready.
With the IPO market heating back up, do you have any words of advice or suggestions for private companies?
I would say the more work that you put into a great foundation for your controls, really, you know, whether you're a flowchart or a narrative person, I personally am a narrative person. Flowcharts, I don't feel like give enough detail, but there's both sides. You know, a lot of people will say, I like this. But having a really great foundation of what is your process, clearly identifying where the controls sit in that process, and a clear identification of the risk that they're mitigating. If you've got all of that very well documented, very, very clear, you can't go wrong, because the problems come later when people don't really understand.
Right.
Right? They're like, well, what's this for? Because not only do you get the people that are performing the processes just not doing it fully, because they don't understand why they're doing something, but it also makes for a really great transparency up to management through the external auditors. And you just avoid a lot of issues because you have very clean set of documents, controls, a lot of support to that opinion that we're providing to management that we have operating controls. So.
Thinking in the advice realm, is there a way, because one would hope, we're all on the same team here. You're internal, you're helping them out, but I assume because you're the person who's like, here's what we need to do, and you're doing things wrong, not that you wag your finger at them. Do you have advice for like how to ensure it's kind of a smooth working, we're all on the same team mode, instead of I'm here to tell you how you messed up?
Yes. And I think hopefully all the people I've worked with over the years have never been like, Amy's the bad guy. I've always seen my role in the organization, even though, yes, I manage the SOX testing. Like, that is the most least value add activity that I or even my team does, right?
Yeah.
They do the SOX testing they need to show that things are operating. But the most value add that I or my role or internal audit or controls teams bring to a role is that business partner, that consultant on risk and controls. So, you know, yes, we may find things wrong. We may find deficiencies, but it's not like, hey, you're wrong, you need to fix it. It's like, hey, you know what? We've got an issue. Let's all sit down and let's figure it out. So it's really being that business partner. And that's how I always try to talk to, even like when I go into new companies, I'm like, I am your partner. Like, bring me along.
Yeah.
You're going to implement a project? Bring me along. Like, let's talk about what could go wrong first, not when I find something that goes wrong.
For sure.
Because I am going to find something that goes wrong eventually.
Yeah, perfection's hard.
It is. Oh, it's not possible. Well, unless. No, I'm just kidding. It's hard.
Yeah.
You know, your human nature, you know, when you have manual controls, human nature. We fail. We make mistakes.
Yeah.
Our business is dynamic. Things are always changing. So you can't, you know, set it and forget it.
Right.
So if you're always there, always talking to people and trying to be collaborative with them, when you come with something wrong, they're like, not like, oh crap, here comes Amy.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, we've got some work to do, but she's got my back.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much again. It was lovely meeting you.
Thank you very much, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you once again to Amy Hafen for joining us back at Amplify. Thank you, dear listener, for surfing along. I'm Mike Gravagno, that was Catherine Tsai, and this has been Off the Books, presented by Workiva. Please subscribe, leave a review, tell your buddies if you like this show. If you're watching this on YouTube, leave us a note in the comments, or feel free to drop us a line at offthebooks@workiva.com. Surf's up, and we'll see you on the next wave.